السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. In this month of Rabiul Awwal, we normally listen to talks on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we take it for granted that the rest of the year is not for listening to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas all the bayans which are given throughout the year, there are verses of the Quran Sharif which are explained, and there are hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which are explained. And what else is the Quran and the Sunnah except the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But it's just that a little more emphasis is given in this Mubarak month, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was born in the month of Rabiul Awwal. And as I explained in the talk given on Wednesday night last week, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's passing away was also in this same Mubarak month. So as far as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam's life is concerned, it is impossible for any person to do justice to his life. To give a bayan on his life and cover every aspect of his life, even if the person has to spend a lifetime, it is not possible. Just as the Quran Sharif people have been commentating, the Mufassirin have written tafsirs, and every time that a scholar goes deep into the meanings of the Quran verses, he comes up with new gems and new pearls, of course as long as it is within the boundaries of tafsir. But there is no end to it. In the same way, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every aspect of his life was hidayat for mankind, and not only for the believers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a mercy not only for the believers, he was a mercy unto all the worlds, for the believers and the disbelievers. The disbelievers also will enjoy some peace and some comfort and some security if they have to follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, even though they may not accept Islam. Even though they don't accept Islam, but if they have to follow Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings, then in this world they also will enjoy those benefits of peace and security. Because the whole country, then there will be no crime if they all have to follow Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings. In tijarat, in business dealings, if there's no interest taking and giving, if there is no cheating, if there's no deceiving, then both parties will enjoy peace even in this world. Nevertheless, so in this little time that I have today, I have decided to take just one aspect of his life, and that is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's large-heartedness and his forgiveness. Now this is also a subject that you can go as deep as you wish, and there is no shore to it. This ocean also has got no shore. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole life was filled with nothing but forgiveness for people. Unfortunately, we are all filled with hatred all the time. Our hearts are filled with hatred. We have a baggage of garbage in our hearts. And then we give vent to this filth that comes into our hearts on different occasions. Sometimes it's the wives who become the victims of this, and sometimes it's our children, and sometimes when we give vent to our anger and our emotions, then it's our neighbors, and sometimes it's our family members, and sometimes it's the society, and sometimes it's the nation at large. Muslim nation against another Muslim nation, a Muslim country against another Muslim country. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was nothing but rahmat, wo nabiyon mein rahmat laqab paane wala, murade ghareebon ki bar laane wala, musibat mein ghairon ke kaam aane wala, wo apne paraye ka gham khane wala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whose title was rahmatul lil alameen, he was filled with nothing but forgiveness, mercy, kindness. So if we claim to be the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we too have to have that kind of love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's creation as Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, or at least some drops of that. We cannot be walking on the surface of this earth with nothing but hatred for people. That was not Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifestyle. In the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The gist of which is this, that repel evil with good, then that person, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ, between whom and yourself there is enmity, hatred, dislike, discord, disunity, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, if you are going to repel evil with good, then that person will become like your bosom friend. And it has happened in history and it is happening all the time. So Baghdad may have fallen, and many other cities and countries have fallen. In history we get this happening all the time. It's our actions which bring about this reaction. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not dead. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings are not dead. The Quran Sharif is not dead. Musalmano na ghabrao. Musalmano na ghabrao. Khuda ki shaan baqi hai. Musalmano na ghabrao. Khuda ki shaan baqi hai. Abhi Islam zinda hai. Abhi Quran baqi hai. Islam is still alive. The Quran Sharif is still alive. Rasul-e-Pak's Lassam's teachings are still alive. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen is still alive. Islam is still alive. We may have fallen. We may have gone weak. We may have somersaulted. But Islam hasn't gone weak. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole life there was nothing but forgiveness for the people. His enemies also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for their hidayat. Battle and jihad is a different thing altogether. The enemies have come and they are attacking the Muslim forces. Now at that time you don't sit there and say, we forgive you and you can take away our country, you can take us away too. At that time there will be jihad. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for his personal self, he never ever took revenge. Find one incident anyway in the history of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the most tortured, the most persecuted, the most troubled by the enemies. But we cannot find one incident in his life where there was such a thing as revenge. Who does not know the incident of Taif? He was stoned. His shoes Mubarak become filled with his Mubarak blood. Not just one or two drops, the shoes become filled with his Mubarak blood. Ha! How must have the angels witnessed that scene? How must have the sahabas witnessed that scene? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself, his most beloved, but for the sake of deen, his blood is flowing. So the angels are sent that if you desire, we can crush these enemies between the mountains. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la yaqlamun. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, they don't understand. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I have not come here to curse. If they don't accept Islam, somebody in their progeny will accept Islam. And that is exactly what happened. So because it was on his personal self, there was no question of revenge. Nothing but forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was the leader of the hypocrites and the munafiqs. They used to make very loud claims of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to even make namaz in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet, in their hearts there was nothing but enmity and hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people. They left no stone unturned in causing damage, harm and difficulties for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the battle of Uhud, he takes away these 3,000 munafiqs. We know that what a battle it was. 3,000 people coming. He takes away his 300 people. There were 3,000 enemies that came. And the Muslims were just 1,000. And of those Muslims were these 300 munafiqs. So he turns around trying to break the morale of the Muslim army. But yet, as you heard last week also, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even gave his inner garment for his kafan, although it didn't help him because he didn't have iman. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to that extent. And it was the same hypocrite or the leader, although his name was Abdullah, but he was Rasul Munafiqeen. So it shows only name is not sufficient too. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the scandal which was carried out, or the slander that was against her, the leader of that slander was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Some innocent Muslims also got caught up in that slander. When na'uzubillah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was accused of having committed adultery. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran Sharif to clear her name and to show that she was chaste and a pure woman, so that until the day of Qiyamah people can understand that how clean and pure and chaste she was. Nevertheless, so he was one of them. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of revenge. In fact, his companion also, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his cousins, Mistah, whom Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to assist and help because he was a poor person. So he also was caught up innocently in that slander. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu vowed that I'm not going to assist and help this person anymore because he was involved in the slander campaign against my daughter, Hazrat Aisha. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran Sharif. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Again, the gist of which is, there's no time to go into detail and tafsir or proper translation, but the gist is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that those people whom Allah ta'ala has blessed or endued with grace, spiritual grace, and Allah ta'ala has given them ample means also, so they should not take a vow, they should not take a qasam that we will never ever assist now our relatives or family members or those who are the masakeen, the poor and the needy, or those who have left their homes in the cause of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen. We are not going to assist them. Forgive and overlook. Don't you desire that you be forgiven? If you desire that you be forgiven, then you must also forgive. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, not only forgiving, but I will double the help that I was giving to this cousin of mine. Imagine somebody carries out a slander campaign against one's daughter, and this was no ordinary daughter, she was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, definitely I want to be forgiven by Allah ta'ala, so I don't only forgive him, but I double that assistance and help. This was the akhlaq which they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole life was filled with nothing but forgiveness for mankind, for the people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam marches into Makkah Mukarramah with 10,000 people. Now here again a lesson for us, that how many people were required to conquer Makkah Mukarramah? Just 10,000. And no bloodshed of any kind. So where did all the enemies go then? There were thousands of them. Over 12,000 came at the time of the trench. Now where did they all go? Only 10,000 were required to go and conquer Makkah Mukarrama. All those people, where did they go? Who were his enemies, most of them? They all became his friends. They all became those who were ready to now give their lives for the cause of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala and many like him. It was when they came into contact with the Muslims, when they saw the life of style of the Muslims, when they saw the character of the Muslims, when they saw the dealings of the Muslims, because after the Sulah of Hudaybiyah, they had 2 years in which they now really got an opportunity to see who a Muslim is. Because Islam at that time was not in the kitabs. Islam at that time was not only in the Quran Sharif. Islam at that time was not only in the libraries. Islam was in the life of every Muslim. Every person who said, I am a Muslim, Islam was in his life. And when they saw these beautiful characteristics of the Muslims, they all accepted Islam. And as a result, now it became so easy to march into Makkah Mukarramah with just 10,000. And then those that were there also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's large heartedness and his forgiveness brought them also into the fold of Islam. Hinda, who had taken out the liver and heart of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the battle of Uhud. But now she accepts Islam. And she says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before this there was no tent that was more hated in my sight than your tent. And before this, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there was no face that was more hated in my sight than your face. But now there is no face more beloved to me than your face, and no tent that is more beloved to me than your tent. Samama bin Asal, a leader of one of the tribes and a very influential person, he was arrested and brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The others were accepting Islam, but he was still very arrogant and stubborn and he didn't want to accept. So they arrested him and they brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. At that time there were no prisons and jails. This came up later in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were brought into the masjid and he was tied with a pillar. Why? Because in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they had an opportunity, these prisoners had an opportunity to see the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. They fed them, they looked after them, they treated them in a very polite and a gentle manner. They gave them everything that was necessary. They did not treat them like slaves and whip them and beat them and torture them. They were not given cages like they are given in Guantanamo Bay or in small cages where they are put, handcuffed and blindfolded and all kinds of torture. So when these people saw that this companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes in the battlefield they are different, but here in the masjid at night again they are reading tahajjud and they are raising their hands and crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they are so kind and so gentle and so honorable and so good and so charitable and so forgiving and so loving and so caring and so considerate, so they had no option but to accept Islam. So Samama bin Asal also was tied. In these days, if we have to tie somebody in our masjid, then he just has to wait for Fajr namaz. Because in that Fajr namaz, he'll find nobody in that masjid, so easiest way of escaping. What is he going to see he can't see in Fajr namaz more than a few people in our masajid. In general, I'm talking about. Where is he going to find people at tahajjud time in our masjids? Besides a few. So after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, what do you want? He said that if you have to have me executed, then you are doing justice, because I'm a murderer, you have done the right thing. And if you forgive me, you will be forgiving a very grateful person. And if you want compensation, then I will give you any amount of money that you require for compensation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say anything. Next day again he asked him the same thing. The third day again he repeated the same thing. And then he released him. Samama bin Asal, he goes out, he goes into one garden, draws water from the well, takes a bath, comes back into the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Without any force, without any compulsion, without any sword at his neck, he accepts Islam very freely and voluntarily. Those who say Islam spread by the sword, they must read all these incidents. and which sword was used on the neck of Hazrat Abu Bakr, on the neck of Hazrat Usman, on the neck of Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, on the neck of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was going with a sword to take off the neck of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Islam spread by this character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, prior to this, there was no tent that was hated in my sight than your tent. There was no religion that was hated in my time, in my sight than your religion. There was no city that was hated in my sight than the city of Madinah Sharif. But now, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is no face that is more beloved to me than your face. And no religion that is more beloved to me than Islam. And no city that is more beloved to me than your city, that is Madinah Tayyibah. What was it? It was the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his forgiveness. At the time of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? He said, I tell you the same thing that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told to his brothers. La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. No revenge today. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't only forgive, he said that those people who enter the house of Abu Sufyan, his arch enemy, they too will be forgiven. Although he accepted Islam after, at the time of Fatah Makkah. But he said the person who enters the Haram Sharif or the Kaaba Sharif, that person is forgiven. The person who enters the house of Abu Sufyan and so, where his enemies, they too will be forgiven. And the person who gets into his house and locks his door up, he too will be forgiven. Amnesty for all of them. They all accepted Islam. There are so many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of forgiveness. And this is what was the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for his ummah. Now we have to look at our lives. So much so that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beloved daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was making hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah, at that time she was thrown off her camel. She was expecting a child and she had a miscarriage. Who they did not trouble amongst the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even forgave him. Ikramah, who was the son of Abu Jahl, but Hazrat Ikramah, he accepted Islam. First of all, he thought now there's no hope for him, and he went away to Yemen, Jeddah, Yemen, and he was going away. Somehow his wife brought him to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forgave him too, and he welcomed him. So this is something that we have to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not worth just talking and talking. We have to look at our lives and see that do we have even a fraction of that forgiveness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for the ummah at large and for mankind. Do we have even a fraction of that forgiveness in our hearts for our family members, for our kith and kin, for our neighbors, for our friends? Over little things we are prepared to go to courts of law. We are prepared to kill, to shoot, to murder. How many incidents are taking place in the Muslim Ummah over trivial things person's life is taken? Arguments unlimited. Division and disunity unlimited. We all talk about uniting the entire Ummah. All the Arab governments must unite. The Muslim governments must unite. The Muslim Ummah must unite. But let us look at our own families and at our own homes. Sometimes it's two brothers who cannot unite. Two sisters cannot unite. Two families cannot unite. Two cousins cannot unite. Two friends cannot forgive each other. But we want the whole world to be united. Where will that unity come from? This is shaitani whisperings into our lives and our ears, that to take our minds off our own problems, it focuses it far away. That why don't they unite? Yes, indeed, we must make dua that they too unite, because their division and disunity has brought such embarrassment and humiliation and suffering for the Muslims that it's unlimited. But why not take a few seconds of our lives, a few minutes of our lives every night, and see that which aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifestyle are we following? Even if we bring a fraction of that forgiveness into our lives, we'll find a difference in our homes. There will be happiness, there will be peace. We will find Jannat on earth instead of having homes which are nothing but fire of Jahannam. This is what is happening. And this is no fantasy or fairy tale. Sometimes it's just for a little bit of money, or sometimes for some other small problem. I can give so many incidents. So let us take a lesson from the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Besides all the other lessons that we can take in this today's Jummah Bayan, let us take this lesson that if we have got enmity, hatred, dislike, fights, quarrels, arguments going with our own wives, our children, our family members, then let us try and resolve that. Let us try and bring some peace and some happiness and some unity. Then it will bring happiness in our own lives. When a person forgives, the first person who is the recipient is that person who forgives. He gets the peace immediately. The more you eliminate enemies in this manner with akhlaq, with your character, with your forgiveness, with your generosity, with an increase in help and assistance to those with whom we have had problems, then what we are really doing is we will find peace and happiness within our own hearts. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhara da'wana alhamdulillah.